Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn them anywhere, because it's all good. Amen. We're going to be going over to Matthew chapter 5 here this evening. And may I say thank you for all of you that's worked so hard making the day possible. For those of you that went out visiting and passed out flyers and worked the buses, and those that ran the games and passed out candy, and those that were altar workers and on that helped us set up and tear down. Thank you for the army of folks that made all that happen. It takes a lot of work. If you see a bunch of people saved, it's going to take some work. Just doesn't happen just easy. It's going to take money to get people saved. It's going to take hard work and faithfulness to get people saved. And so thank you for allowing us to come and be able to be here. And thank you, Brother Myers, for your friendship through the years and his just steadfast and gun barrel straight. Just thank the Lord for friends in the ministry that have not compromised. And they've not gone contemporary. They are just shooting straight. And thank the Lord for that. And that's a blessing. And you all got a good spirit here. And we appreciate all your help and hard work. And boy, we enjoyed it today and had a great time. And on behalf of the folks got saved, may we say thank you. Because in heaven, someday they'll thank you for your part in helping get them to heaven. That's the greatest thing that you could ever do. That's for sure. And so you all keep up the good work. I know this is the first Sunday out of six more. And so intensify your efforts and make it happen. Praise the Lord for that. Get one of our prayer cards off the table, if you would. We covet your prayers and appreciate it. It means a lot to know you got folks in your corner pulling for you. Pray for safety. Pray for God's provision. Pray that the Lord would give us fruit for our labor and that he would have his hand upon us, and pray for the ships and the walkers, and that would mean a blessing to us. I believe in the right to bear arms. I think you ought to be locked and loaded, ready to shoot the gospel gun at any time. You never know when you might have an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. And we got some little laminated soul winning cards back there. One's got the Romans Road with baptism illustrated on the back. This one here is the way to heaven. It's pictured with illustrations. Just a tool. Might be something that you could use to help get somebody saved and to tell them about the Lord. You never know when might have an opportunity to do that. And if you enjoyed Champ and Dixie's performance, so we've got live video footage of them and Gabby and a gospel presentation that is very clear that people of all ages enjoy and could easily watch it and have an understanding of what it means to be saved and to get that settled. And so that's back there on the table. And this is, I think, the third church. It's just brand new, hot off the press. That's back there. And Loretta's got a new book I wanted to mention to you, too, called Ready for the Day 3. And it's a devotional book. And if you're looking for something to just help you get the day started off right, to have some spiritual content, I hope that you might want to take a look at that. Might be a blessing or a help to you. And I promise you all the proceeds still go to a needy family. Amen. So you can take a look there. We'll have it up for a little bit after services. We'll be packing up and headed over to Hemet to be with Brother Beard. And we're going to be out here in California till the 1st of August. And we'll work our way up to Northern California to be at Brother Rule's youth camp. And then we head on up into Oregon, Washington, and on over to Montana. And then we'll start working our way back down. And we'll end up back home at Thanksgiving. And so hope that you will pray for us, and that'll mean a lot. Take your Bibles there, Matthew 5. Let's stand together, shall we, for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13. Matthew 5 and verse number 13 here this evening. The Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Now, I don't know about you, but that good for nothing, my daddy had a low tolerance for lazy people. If you were lazy, he'd say, he ain't worth shooting. And he'd follow it up by saying, he ain't even worth the powder it'd take to blow him up. Now, that's pretty sorry when you're not worth the powder it'd take to blow you up. Ain't worth shooting. But the Bible says here, if you've lost your savor, you ain't worth shooting. You ain't worth the powder it'd take to blow you. Good for nothing. I don't want to be good for nothing. I want to be good for something. Okay? He said in verse 14, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the great day today. Thank you for the souls saved and decisions made. We pray that tonight you would challenge us from your word so we could be better because of it. We ask these things now in your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. We've sung that song in Sunday school. This the light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This the light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Sing it. This the light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Well, I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We'll hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine, hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine, hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. But the devil wants to blow out your light. I'm going to need somebody to help me tonight to be the devil. He'd love nothing more than just to put it out. He doesn't want your light to shine. I need somebody to be the devil tonight. I don't know who feels led to come up here and help me be the devil, but Brother Charlie, I think the Holy Spirit's working on you right now. There you go. Thank you. He's the closest one to be the devil. So come on up here, Brother Charlie, and help me out. The devil wants to blow your light out. So Brother Charlie's going to represent the devil. He said his wife said that he was mean as the devil. So we got to help him out here. All right. Now, here we go. Brother Charlie, this is not a superhero cape. No. Yeah, you're not going to be Batman. Okay. You get to be the devil who wants to blow out the enemy of God. Oh, he wants to defeat you. And we need to accessorize you here a little bit and help you with the part. Right there. There we go. Now, doesn't he look a lot better?
Cut the live stream. Cut the live stream.
Okay. The old devil, he wants to blow out our light. Okay. He says, so step right on over here, yes, if you would, yes, dear sir, brother. Yes. And I'm going to have you help me out here because we want to keep our light lit. And Paul gives us some imperative statements about doing that. Look over 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, he gives us some helpful suggestions, some helpful habits for a happy, healthy church. Say that fast 5 times. Helpful habits for a happy, healthy church. And we see here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, some of these instructions. He says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice, that means to feel or to show great joy or delight. It's the act of expressing gladness. My Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We're supposed to. So how can we help keep our light lit? Well, number one, rejoice evermore. That means my joy is based on things that are eternal. My joy is not based on the weather. It's not based on the economy. It's not based on Biden inflation. It's not based on feelings. It's not based on COVID. It's not based on the price of diesel, although that does affect it a good deal. But my joy is not based on that stuff. He says, rejoice evermore. So that means my joy should be based on things that are eternal. What doesn't change? The word of God doesn't change. My salvation doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change, right? So, hey, man, we got to learn to be happy. We got to learn to be joyful and glad. So, hey, this little light of mine, but the devil comes and he tries to blow out my light, but I'm going to let it shine. And the devil comes and he tries to blow out my light. That's your cue. And the devil comes and he tries to blow out my light. Oh, but I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be full of joy. That's for sure. See how ornery he is? I picked a good one to come up here, didn't I? Well, hey, we need some more help. Paul gives us another. He says, not only rejoice evermore, but he also says, pray without ceasing. Preacher, I'm going to need some help. Who's your rejoicer? Who's got joy and happiness? And who's glad? You got somebody to represent that? Brother who? Brother Ross? Brother Ross, come on up here if you would. Brother Ross, you're going to help me. He's going to represent rejoice evermore. And we have to have the joy of the Lord. And then, preacher, I need some more help. I need somebody to be pray. Who's somebody? They're a prayer warrior. I mean, they pray. They're serious about prayer. If you needed somebody to pray, this would be in your, they'd be in your corner pulling for you. Brother who? Charlo? Perchardo? Oh, Brother Ray. Yeah, I can never say his last name. I think he's outside smoking or something. Anyway, is Brother Ray? Brother Ray, are you here? Where you at, Brother Ray? Brother Joseph? Joseph? Which one? This Joseph? I'm shocked too. Come on up here, Brother Joe. Okay, good, 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 good. Yeah. All righty, good. Come on up here, Brother Joe. All right, you fellas, come on in here. I got to have some help. In here, I got some praying without ceasing. Woo-hoo. I got some rejoice evermore. I got my light lit. Oh, yeah, this little light of mine, sing it. I'm going to let, but the devil comes and he wants to blow out my light. He wants to put it out. Oh, yeah, he is a trickster. I tell you what, he's going to come around the. Okay. He says, pray without ceasing. Now, you know what that is? That you cannot pray 24 hours a day. But it doesn't mean that, praying like nonstop continuously, okay? He's saying, don't give up on prayer, okay? Never stop praying, okay? Without losing confidence that God would and could and can answer your prayer. The Bible says in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. My daddy was dying of transverse myelitis, and it was an inflammation in his system that was like somebody was flipping the breakers off in the panel box, and the house was shutting down. And they tried steroids to try to shut it down, but it didn't stop it. It didn't have any effect. And we were praying for God to heal my daddy. We knew that the Lord could heal him if he would. And we knew he was able, okay? We knew we could. And so we just kept praying and kept praying and kept praying and praying. And of course, God answered our prayer in the fact that he said no. And, you know, we didn't stop. We just kept on praying. You know, you can't lose faith and confidence about prayer. Don't stop. That person that you want to see get saved. Loretta had an uncle, and he would be one of the last people you'd think get saved. He ran off preachers with shotguns, double-barrel shotguns, sawed off. The preacher would come, and he would level it on them, and he'd say, you get the blank out of my yard, or I'm going to blow your guts all over. And, I mean, he was mean. And, boy, we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for Uncle Pete to get saved. And man, I got a burden for him to get saved. And we would, I wanted to try to reach him. And through a process of time, I was able to connect to him. You know, you got to connect with people. And I felt like I was connected with him, and I was praying. I had such a burden for him to get saved. And I said, this year, whenever we go hunting, and we all gather together at the hunting cabin up in the mountains, I'm going to talk to Uncle Pete. And it was a real hot day, and I came in early. And whenever I did, guess who was at the cabin? It was Uncle Pete. And he was half, you know, liquored up all the time. I mean, if he would burn forever if he caught on fire. I mean, tell you, it was in his bloodstream. And he was laying in there, and he was full of liquor, but he was functioning alcoholic. I mean, he was drunk all the time, but yet he was functioning. So I went in there to Uncle Pete, and the Holy Spirit said, witness to him. Now, I was a little bit scared, honestly, because he was mean. But I had a burden for him to get saved. And I went over to him. I said, Uncle Pete, we started talking. I said, Uncle Pete, if you were to die today, you know you'd go to heaven. Oh, no, he said, I wouldn't go to heaven. He says, you would, you're a good guy. I said, yeah, that's right, I'm pretty. No, I said, no. I said, no, Uncle Pete. And we talked, and I started quoting scripture. And you know, he didn't get mad. He didn't pull out a pistol. All of a sudden, I saw a tear welling up the corner of his eye, and the Holy Spirit of God began to work. And all those prayers, his family, we just prayed and prayed and prayed, finally took root. And Uncle Pete prayed and got saved that day. Woo-hoo! Heaven was rejoicing. Man, that was, and the family said, what's happened to Uncle Pete? He's not the same. Well, I knew what happened. He got saved. That's what happened. Thank God. Hey, prayer is the hand that touches the heart of God. Don't ever give up on praying. Don't ever stop praying. But he also gives us another one here. He says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. He says, in everything, give thanks. That's having the attitude of gratitude. He says, for this is the will of God. You know what God's will is? To be thankful. It's God's will to be grateful. It's God's will. Preacher, who do you got that's thankful? They're grateful. I mean, you can't help but talk to them for a few moments, and they're just thanking God for something. There's somebody that's very appreciative. You got anybody? If not, just lie. Who? John? Brother John. We're all shocked, aren't we? Anyway, no, Brother John, come on up here, Brother John. Brother John Castle. Somebody that's thankful. Somebody that's praising. You know, that ought to be a way of life. Huh? It ought to be a normal thing. You ought to teach your kids, well, somebody does something for you, man, you should be grateful, thankful. It ought to be normal. Well, I just ain't that way. Change. Make it that way. Hey, when your kids, see, if you've got children that are respectful and appreciative and will look at somebody in the eyes and shake their hands, and you've programmed that. And we need to program them to be thankful. Huh? Well, I just ain't real expressive. You liar. You are expressive in other ways, I guarantee you. Huh? We need to be expressive of our gratefulness. And we need to be thankful. We need to tell people, if somebody does something for you, say thank you. Huh? The other day I did something for somebody, and I spent some money and did something. And you know what, preacher? They wasn't even a holy grunt. I mean, not even just like, wow, I like this, or thank you. It was just nothing. I didn't do it to get thanked, but it would have been nice to have been thanked. And I just thought, you know what it does humanly? It makes us feel like, huh, I don't know if I'll do anything for them again. That's human nature, okay? We shouldn't be that way, but we are. See, the Heavenly Father, he likes to be thanked. See, and we're made in his image. And so God likes to be thanked. And so you do something, somebody gives you a present, you say thank you. They do something for your children. They don't say, oh, that's not the color I wanted. I wanted a hot pink one, and you give me this red one. It's like, what? No. You be grateful. They even thought of you. It might not be your favorite kind. They might have got confused. You just say, thank you. I appreciate that. You were thinking about me, and that means something. To be grateful. God, help us to have an attitude of gratitude. Whew. You can just look at Brother Castle and be thankful. You say, well, how's that? Well, just look at him and just thank God you don't look like him.
Right. Amen. Amen.
He just thanked me. That. He says, thanks. Hey, well, we're going to, Bible says in Psalms 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Oh, that's a way we ought to start out praying, is being grateful, being thankful. Huh? It ought to be a way of life. And that's a good way to keep your light lit. So, fellas, come on in here a little closer. Here we go. More. Ooh, I'm praying without ceasing. I tell you what, I'm giving thanks. So I got my guards around me. Yeah, here we go. And sing it. This the light of mine. Huh? And the devil comes and he tries to blow out my light. He doesn't want me to have a testimony. He wants me to lose my joy. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Well, I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Well, he's pretty sneaky. I guess we're going to have to get some more help. Paul gives us another one here. Not only rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, everything give thanks. But look at verse 19. It says, quench not the spirit. That's the spirit-controlled Christian. Hey, preacher, who do you got that's a Holy Spirit-controlled Christian? I mean, there's somebody that they really try to stay tuned in, and if the Spirit of God told them to do it, they would do it. They just live that way. They think that way. They act that way. And if you can't think anybody, just lie right now. But anyway, you got somebody that's a Spirit-controlled Christian. Brother Romero. Okay, come on up here, Brother Romero. Yes, I tell you what, the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, buddy, if we get the Holy Spirit of God, come over here. If we get the Spirit of God, if we're a Holy Spirit-controlled Christian, and we're under the influence, we don't squelch him, we don't winch him, huh? And the Holy Spirit's working and running, oh, man, that's going to help you keep your light lit. That's going to help you have the joy of the Lord. That's going to help you to be an effective Christian. Bible says in Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto the Lord. So every day, if you're going to be a spirit-controlled Christian, you've got to yield to the Spirit. When we were in school, Brother Steve, you remember, Brother House taught us to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. He would say this, I give you my hands today, and control them and what they touch. Holy Spirit, I give you my feet today, control them and the steps they take. Holy Spirit, I give you my eyes today, control what they see. My ears and what they hear, my lips what it speaks, my heart what it feels, my mind what it thinks. I want you to lead me in the path of someone that Jesus would help if Jesus was here today. Oh, yeah. Now, that right there, that'll help you keep your light lit. So, fellas, come on in here. No, wait, you're number four. You got to stay there because I'm OCD. Okay, come on in here. Come on in here. Here you go. Now, here we go. All right, so you ready? I'm going to get my light lit. Woo-hoo. I'm under control of the Spirit of God. Sing with me. This the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And the devil comes. Keep saying, yeah, the devil comes. He wants to blow out my light. He wants to render me ineffective. But I'm rejoicing evermore. I'm praying without ceasing. I'm giving thanks. I'm going to be yielded to the Spirit of God. I tell you what, I'm going to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm going to hold him back. I'm not going to lose it. Yeah, this the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Well, he's got a powerful blower right there. Okay, made him work for that one. Well, we better add another one here. I like this next one. If we're going to keep the light lit, look there. It says, quench not the spirit. It also says, verse 20, despise not prophesying. despise not preacher. Who do you got? They love preaching. It ain't going to get too hot for them. I mean, you could preach the devil out of them and they're still going to keep coming. They're the amener. They're the one that loves preaching. Raw? Brother Raw. Oh, man. Brother Raw. Woohoo. Yeah. Finally, we got something that you could qualify for. Anyway, all right. Hey, despise not prophesying. Oh, my Bible says in 1 Corinthians. Yeah, look at there now. That says, let me see if it's still in the book here. Look over and see 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn there right quick. I think it's still here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's see. Oh, yeah, there it is, 1 Corinthians 1, 18. It's still in the book. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by the wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Oh, yeah. Brother Ryan, come on over here, Brother Ryan. Stand right over here. Yeah, I tell you what, we ought to fall in love with preaching. And if you've got to hang up with a man of God and the devil can drive a wedge between you and him, oh, he will cause you to have deaf ears towards the preacher. That's why he works so hard to get you sideways with the man of God. If he can get you to get upset about something he said or something he acted and something silly, and you'll get upset about it because you're not in control of the Spirit. The Spirit of God's not controlling you, huh? You're in the flesh. You'll get sideways. Next thing you know, you start despising preaching. And you resent it. You wonder why those people come. You wonder why in the world do they show up? It's just like they want to be a burr under the saddle. No, sorry. You ought to thank God that you got a preacher that's willing to stand up and he's not going to tiptoe through the tithers. He's not going to just be real nice to everybody. No. He's going to preach the truth out of love. He's going to be firm. He's going to be consistent. He's going to say, hey, this is what the Bible says. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to do it. So fall in love with preaching. Don't lowly esteem. Magnify. Make it a big deal. Amen? Oh, yeah. So come on around here, fellas. We're getting some more reinforcements now. All right. This light lit right here. Sing with me. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Oh, the devil comes and he tries to blow out my light. He wants to render me ineffective. He wants you to be dark, to be dead. But I'm going to pray without ceasing. I'm going to rejoice evermore. I'm going to give thanks. Oh, yeah, keep singing this, the light of mine. Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm not going to quench the spirit. I'm going to fall in love with preaching. Oh, yeah, that's right. And someday the devil's going to get up here, and he's eventually going to blow this thing out. Thank you. It took you long enough. Oh, my goodness. Hey, what are we going to do? Well, let's look at another one there. He says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. Hold fast. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Let me make sure that one's still in here. I think it is. Last I checked, it was still there. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Let's see here. Oh, hey, there it is. Yeah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Dr. Joe Boyd said that's a soul winner on a pogo stick, always abounding. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, I tell you what, that's that person, they're holding fast. They're steady. I mean, they are not a go-with-the-flow Christian being changed by every wind of doctrine. Preacher, I mean, who's somebody that's, I mean, they're locked in, they're gun barrel straight, they're not going to be trying to encourage you to go contemporary and make the platform look like a nightclub. No, sir. Who is that one that's the holding fast? Brother Daniel, there he is. All right, come on up here, Brother Daniel. Yeah, that's that. I mean, not going to change the proven methods. Yeah, there you go. Scooch over just a little bit, Brother Daniel here. He's going, not going to change. We're not going to go down the slippery slope that everybody else is going. And you always see it, preacher. I always see it. I go to churches. It starts with the music. And always there's the separation standards and soul winning. It's always that way. And it just starts slipping. And they start changing. They start letting. Usually what they do is they hire one of their sons that's got a little different philosophy and flavor. And then he comes in and things that daddy used to preach against, he's now tolerating because it's his son that gets up there. And that it just keeps going and it keeps eroding. And it's like every time I go back, I see it slipping a little more and a little more and a little more and a little more. And next thing you know, they got their worship team up there in their tight jeans and nightclub atmosphere. It's just like, what in the world, huh? Hey, listen, right doesn't change. And we don't need to be compromising. We don't need to go contemporary to get a crowd. Okay? Because, I mean, hey, I guarantee you we could have a crowd if we had marijuana Sunday, you know, heroin Sunday, beer Sunday. Yeah, free. No. Yeah, you get a crowd by that. But I tell you what, that crowd that go into contemporary, you know where they get their people from? From us. They get some backslidden Christian and get sideways with the preacher about stuff, and they're leaning left, and that's where they get their people from. They're not producing soul winners. That contemporary crowd is not producing workers. There's a shallow level of commitment out of those folks, okay? And so thank God for people that are holding fast. They're steadfast. They're not going to change the Word of God. They're not going to change their soul winning. They're not going to change their music. They're not going to... No. We're going to stick with it. Amen? Now, I see y'all got screens. Yeah, I see you got screens. I see you got a nice platform. I see you got projectors and you got a nice sound system. Nothing's wrong with that. Huh? But when we start changing our position, okay, and we start allowing things in that's not going to glorify God, and not going to make him look good. Well, we got to be careful. We got to be careful. We got to watch it, man. It's so there's so many things that I could say right here, but I want to give you one more, and we'll be done. The last one says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, we could take this a lot of different directions, but my Bible says in James 3:8 that the tongue is an unruly evil, and so. I'm going to take it from this angle. Our tongue has power to destroy and hurt, criticize. Preacher, and by the way, Brother House said it's evil when you try to intentionally hurt somebody with your tongue and to be critical of them. That's evil. Evil. Preacher, who's the last person that's going to listen to criticism? I mean, if they come up to him and say, hey, listen, that I tell you what, the preacher, but who would be that last person to say, oh, wait a minute, let's stop right there. Let's go talk to the preacher about that. He can take care of it. Come on. Who's that last person that's going to listen? Brother Bird. Oh, Brother Bird. Come on up here, Brother Bird. Yeah. That person, they're not going to listen to criticism. They're not going to use their tongue, okay, to criticize and to hurt, okay? And we're going to say no to that. No. We're not going to go there. What good is it going to do? Huh? Well, I tell you what, I'm just that way, and I just say things the way they are. Well, you're going to hurt a lot of people, and you're not going to have many friends. Okay? You're going to do a lot of damage. Okay, well, I'm just that way, and I just say things. You know, it's funny how when people get older, they think they can just say what they want to say. Okay, there's some truth to that, but you're going to hurt people, okay? And you're shooting yourself in the foot, okay? There's certain things that we need to stand up for, but there's also times when we need to be careful about being critical of the preacher, being critical, okay, of the church, being critical. Better be careful. Because if you got kids and they're listening to you being critical, they just take it a step further. And I've seen people that are critical lose their kids, and the kids have no respect for the man of God because all they hear is their parents running them down all the time. Oh, yeah. So if we're going to keep our light lit, we need to have some reinforcements. So come on in here, fellas. I got a pretty good group of fellas here now this time. Here we go. Now, I'm going to let my light shine. Sing with me. This the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This the, oh, the devil comes. He tries to blow out my light. Oh, man, I tell you what. But I'm going to rejoice evermore. I'm going to pray without ceasing. I'm going to be giving thanks. I'm not going to quench the spirit. Oh, won't let Satan blow it out singing. I'm going to, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to fall in love with the preacher. I'm going to stay fast. I'm going to hold fast. I'm not going to be a compromiser. I'm going to say no to evil. I'm not going to be critical. And I tell you what, now, they're doing a pretty good job. They've done They converted the devil, didn't they? Amen. Well, give my men up here on the plank. Thank you, fellas. Give them a hand. You know, there was, let me tell you this story and we're done here. Right on time, coming in for a landing. Two boys, the optimist and the pessimist, they did a test on them because they had extreme conditions. And the little optimist boy, he always had a positive look on everything. And then the little pessimist boy, he was negative about everything, never saw any good. So they took the little pessimist boy and they put him in the middle of a toy store and they turned him loose to just have a time. They came back an hour later and they found him in the middle of that store, just sitting there with his arms crossed, bored out of his mind. They said, son, what's the matter? Oh, it's boring, ain't nothing to do. They said, man, this ain't no fun. I don't like it here. They thought, boy, this guy is really extreme. We didn't think he was quite this bad. So then they took the optimist boy. They put him in a barn filled up with nothing but horse manure. And they left him there. They came back about an hour. And what did they find? That boy was in the middle of that horse manure, had done a big old hole, and he had a shovel, and he was just throwing the poo. But he was digging in that stuff, and it was flying everywhere. And they thought, hey, what's going on? He crawled up out of there, wiping that manure off of him. He said, well, with all this manure in here, there's bound to be a pony somewhere. You know, he was looking for the good. God give us people that'll think and live that way. And they'll look for the good. Because we're so quick to see the bad and blow it up. If we start looking for the good in our kids and praise them 10 times more than we run them down, it's going to help you. Amen. It's going to help you raise up. And God help us to have some church members that'd be looking for the good. Because you can always find problems everywhere you go. And if you join the perfect church, you're going to mess it up because you joined it. So it's not going to be perfect. Okay? And the grass is always greener over the septic tank. So don't think that, oh, that's better. I went, no, no, no. There's problems everywhere you go. Let's decide I'm going to keep my light lit. And I'm going to work on it. And I'm going to activate these helpful habits for a healthy home and church. And it'll help you keeping your light lit during dark times. Thank the Lord for churches that let their light shine. They had a cowboy carnival. Man, had a record-breaking attendance, and a bunch of folks come and got saved. 2 weeks later, the preacher was reading the newspaper. Sure enough, it had in the headlines, 14-year-old boy hit by the train. And as he looked at that, he did what you soul winners out there are thinking. I wonder if he ever went to that church and got saved. When you hear sirens, when you see a funeral procession, you find out somebody passes, I always wonder, I wonder if they were saved. I wonder if they knew the Lord. I wonder if they're in heaven. And the preacher called for the secretary. He says, check this, see if this boy ever came to our church and got saved. While she was checking the records, he read the story. Three boys down riding their bikes down by the railroad tracks. And a train was starting to pull out of sight. And the two of the three boys dared the other boy. And they said, hey, but you can't tag that train. But you can't catch it. He says, you know, I'm the fastest one. And they egged him on. It's a foolish thing to dare people. It's also a foolish thing to accept a dare. You don't have to prove anything. But that boy took the dare, which proved fatal. And he tore out on his bicycle, and he caught that train. And as he reached out to tag that train in the loose gravel, his bike came out from under him. He went underneath the wheels of that train, and it cut him half in two. Those boys saw a horrific sight that they'll never forget, that they dared their buddy to tag a train, and they watched him die. Well, the secretary come running back in. She said, preacher, 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 that boy came 2 weeks ago when we had the carnival. He got saved. Ooh, hey, praise God. That boy was 2 weeks away from spending eternity in hell. And instead of going to hell, he's in heaven. Hey, thank God for somebody that was letting their light shine. Somebody that was just trying to help get some people to heaven. Oh, yeah, we need some folks like that because they'll keep people out of hell. They'll make a difference. Don't you know that boy was rejoicing, saying, I'm glad there was a gospel preaching church that was letting their light shine, help me see the gospel so I could be saved. He was only saved for 2 weeks. He had a destiny. He had a divine appointment. And may God use us to help reach people, or it's too late. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that have led us to you. Thank you for the power and the reinforcements that we have from your word right here in 1 Thessalonians, how that we can activate some help and some strength to maintain a testimony to keep our light lit. And I pray that tonight you'd empower us and fill us. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would show us, Lord, our weak link, and show us what we need to do to make a difference. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, in just a moment, the pianist will play. Just a moment, the invitation will be given. And if you're here tonight and you're uncertain of your eternal destiny and you don't know for sure you go to heaven, make the greatest decision of your life and come forward and let us take the Bible and show you how you could be assured of heaven to be your home. And if you're here tonight saying, I tell you what, I want to let my light shine. I don't want the devil to put it out. God has spoken to me in some form or fashion. You obey the Lord tonight. Let's all stand together as heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, bless now as we have this invitation. May your will be done. We ask this in your precious name as the instruments begin to play. God has spoken to you. You step out and you come.